The Holy Spirit is that which animates our lives. We live in a world that's partly seen and partly unseen. By design, we're not allowed to know everything that's going on in our world. Our Lord holds back many things from us to give us what is essential for our journey in faith. We are not given to know all the secrets of the world. I'm not talking about scientific secrets, but the secrets of how things really are, our purpose in the world, our mission. Notice that Jesus gives the disciples a mission. And to all of us, the breathing down on the Holy by God on humanity, as represented by the apostles and those in the room on that day, all receiving the Holy Spirit. When the bishop does confirmation here, I think it's next Friday, he will say, "Peace be with you." Because of this reading, bishops represent the apostles, and they use that instead of "the Lord be with you," they say, "Peace be with you," to invoke the Holy Spirit in a special way. And so I was thinking about the many ways in which the Holy Spirit acts on our behalf, and we haven't the slightest idea of what God is doing. On the other hand, the Lord calls us to be discerning in a world that does not know him, to be people of knowledge of the truth of God, and not to live like pagans, as St. Paul has this list of what's not of the Spirit and what is. I was thinking about a story many years ago. I was working at the airline. I'd just been hired, and it was very complicated and difficult. I was on the computer, still learning, and I got what was called a prepaid ticket. It was one of the worst things I could get because it was very, very complicated. It took a number of screens, and remember, in those days, nobody had computers, so it wasn't like we all are today. And somebody called in. They wanted to buy a ticket for someone back east to come in for a funeral. And I know the person was in Bakersfield. I was in L.A., Fairfax District, in an office on the phone. And so they said, "I want my relative, let's say in New York, to come out, and I want to buy their ticket." So we book the ticket. She pays for it. We put it in a certain category, and it's a lot of computer entries and stuff, and let that person go, got them off the phone, forgot to put my phone on hold. Here comes the next call. And I'm live with the next passenger, and I hadn't finished the record yet. And I thought, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Can't put this..." Anyway, the person I got on the next call coming in was the person in New York or wherever it was calling to see if that ticket had been done yet. At first I was relieved, and then it occurred to me, do you know what had to happen for that person to get me the way they did? There were three other offices across the country that it had to bypass to get to me, and 70 other people in my office on the phone at that time. And I was the only one on the face of the earth that had that record that had not ended it yet. It wasn't in the system-wide. It was only on my computer. And here comes this worried grandmother about her ticket. I was not a priest then, but it occurred to me, looking back at it, I was arranging funerals even when I was at the airline. my first funeral. I tried to convey to this person on the phone something of how miraculous it was that she happened to get me on the phone. And she to her dying day, she must have been convinced I was the only person at American Airlines that evening. She had no idea what God had done for her. And she didn't until the day she died. And when our Lord, in going through their lives, I'm sure they must all be deceased now. That was almost 40 years ago. But as God showed them their lives, he must have said, "And this is what I did for you. Remember when that person died? You thought I'd abandon you because," or whatever they were thinking in their minds. "Do you realize when you prayed, I arranged so that you would find out immediately that this ticket was done, and I did that just for you?" See, to me, God is behind the scenes doing this constantly for us. We have no idea. We don't thank him because we don't know what he's done. And you're not going to know until the end of time. Occasionally, God lifts the veil, and we get a chance to see this chain of events that we call coincidences that is, in fact, God working on our behalf. We can short-circuit this by never thanking God. You know, like some relative that gets a gift from his grandparents every year and never thanks them. Eventually, the gifts are going to dwindle. And this is the way it is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all about helping us to become sensitive to what is of God and what is not of God. And we live in a world where, by definition, we are on a journey. We're not home yet. We are within a world in which we have to discern right from wrong. And the church is here to help us. That's why Jesus breathes on the church through the apostles and says, receive the Holy Spirit. By God's commandments through the scriptures, by coming to church and actually listening to what our Lord said to us here, by the church's discernment over 2,000 years, my own conscience, and the circumstances of my life, I can begin to determine what is God's will. Sometimes it takes a lot of courage because we don't always see immediately the will of God. It's very something like my story there. These people never knew what God did for them. At other times, we're called to make decisions. We have to invoke the Holy Spirit. Think about when we were building this church. It took a lot of discernment to do that. I was talking with Jim Seymour last night at the auction. You know, we did the Father Taft paddle auction. It made almost $10,000. I'm real proud of that. You know, I know that number. I don't know the rest of it. But to me, that's the center of the auction, is what we did for somebody else. You know, that's really what we're all about as Christians, you know. But he was saying, gosh, how did you ever discern to put this beautiful building up and things? And I said, you know, it was a group effort. We all sat down and discerned it together, and it was not easy. And one person in particular had a lot to do with it. But you know, we had to listen to a lot of people and then make a leap of faith when it isn't easy. And then God puts the pieces together. It's like when Moses was crossing the Red Sea, you know, they had to step out in faith before the water parted. That's the way life is. If we wait for cash on the barrel, we're never going to go anywhere in life. God expects us to step out in faith after we have discerned. And this is the thing. The Lord gives us, through St. Paul, a way to discern if it's God and if it isn't. He has this list. I'm not going to read the whole thing. In previous years, I put this in the bulletin. This year, I put in the bulletin a couple of prayers to the Holy Spirit. I say one of them every day, that the Holy Spirit will help me to be more sensitive to him. And usually, at least as far as being a pastor, I find that the Lord speaks through the people, and that's where all the ideas are coming from. And so it's important to be able to listen and discern what is of God and what is not. And kind of interesting, I'm looking back at this little Holy Spirit window. You know, there's a glass window in the back here. What was the name of this gentleman that made this? Jack Gutt. He was gone from the parish before I got here, but I met him. Jack Rich. Yeah, so here we are. We built the whole church. And then Joe Smith comes up to me and he says, what about the Holy Spirit window? Well, I forgot it was even up there. It was in the corner over here in the old church. So lo and behold, it was just hanging by two hooks. So we took it off the window and it fits perfectly in the back. And that's how the Spirit works. It's like, what about this? And so there it is. A constant reminder of the Holy Spirit as we go in and out of the window. And I'll bet most of us don't even notice it. And yet, the Holy Spirit is right there, right on our side as we go in and out of all the doors of life, waiting to be discovered. And we can tell if we're following the wrong spirit. This sounds like what you watch on TV, you know? Immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry. Check the TV guide for these ones. This sounds like Dallas or something. Sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealous, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissension, faction, orgies, drinking bouts. And says, that stuff is not God. But that's the world. The world loves this stuff. You wake up in the morning and you're sick. This is not God. God was present. God is present when we yield to love, joy, peace. This is not as exciting, but patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so it's this constant battle between these two things. And I think the Lord really is calling us to be more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I found very early in my priesthood that God showed me that he's present in coincidences of life. That's a wavelength that I've consistently heard God. I think each of us has a certain wavelength in which God wishes to speak to us. Others find the scriptures are always right there for them. And we see God in the circumstances of our life as well as church teaching and the scriptures. And so by many choices, we become more and more sensitive to what God is doing in our lives. But the key to it is to be discerning in each decision, The Spirit calls us at times to step out in faith. At times we'll see him clearly. At times we have to take that first step before God parts the waters. But in all things, we're growing in the Holy Spirit, with whom we're destined to have a relationship forever. And so each of these days while we live on earth is crucial in coming to a greater understanding of who the Lord God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I really recommend, like, maybe each of us finds a prayer that we can say to the Holy Spirit each day for a greater and greater yielding to the Spirit in our lives, our parish, our nation, our world, our church, so that through many trials, many things, we come to the kingdom of God.